And now the message, Signs of the Fullness.
Now tonight, I'm going to preach on Signs of the Fullness. We have a lot of folks who are talking about a sign of being filled. Well, there are some signs. And we're going to do some things in line with what the Bible talks about are the signs of the fullness. I want you to stand with me. Everyone's standing. We're going to worship. And, we have a set form of worship. I don't know who ever told us that is the way you worship the Lord. But the Bible gives us some information on how we're to worship. And it tells us what God likes, what makes God delighted. For instance, the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. He inhabits the praises of Israel. He delights in praise. I don't know why folks are so afraid of praise. Just praise the Lord. There are many praise scriptures in the Bible. For instance, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's a praise scripture. Let's say that together, just the first couple of verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Now, you can't say that if you've got sin in your heart. We got to stop right there, and you got to get right. If you brought an unconfessed sin to this place, you can't go on. Why, the Lord would strike you dead if we were back in the economy of the early New Testament church. If you've got one cruel thing you said to your wife on the way to church and haven't asked her forgiveness, you can't say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. That's not going to bless the Lord. And discouraged about something? You see what would happen if we came to worship the Lord like we ought? Well, we'd have to get right, rather than just go through a form. Now, any of you got anything you need to settle before we say that again? Well, get it done. That's what this is for. We're going to wait a little bit. You need to get right with the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. Have you let a thought lodge in your mind that would lead to depression if you kept on? You haven't thanked him for something? All right, let's try again. Now, look out. Somebody falls out in the aisle and they have to carry you out. I warned you. All right, let's go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, there are a lot of ways to praise the Lord. You can praise him through words, or you can praise him through words being sung. Now let's put that to song, all right? You ready? All right, here we go. Now, the choir did one version of it. I'm going to do another version. You follow along with me. Now, I realize you're not used to this. I mean, it looks like it on your face. You're not used to it. But I'm going to give you a hint at how you continue to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so you can flow. Now, when you stop flowing, the Holy Spirit goes somewhere else, friend, because you never find the Holy Spirit static. And that's the reason he finds a static church. He's going down somewhere where it's not static. Okay? All right. Now, I realize this is different to you, and this is some pain to your traditional selves, but we're going to enliven them. We're going to enliven them. All right? Let's sing it like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. All right. You ever heard that before? You just got through hearing it. My gracious. All right. Are you ready? Everybody singing. I'm going to watch you now. I may have to dismiss some of you. All right. Are you ready? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. took some bass and some tenor. That's the reason God made you a voice. There's no instrument that man has made as beautiful as the voice. And you just add your parts to it, and let's do it again. Deliberately and praisefully, who are we singing to? The Lord. Now, would you want to sing to the Lord with less than all you have? All right, let's sing it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Isn't that lovely? And don't you feel a little better the more you do it? Wonder why? Because God in His Word has said some things. I'm going to preach on it in a minute. You just stay with me. Now, if this makes you uncomfortable, friend, you're not going to heaven, because we're going to be doing a lot of this there. Singing and praising. If a noisy worship service bothers you, honey, you're going to have to get used to heaven, because that's a noisy place. The noisiest book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. They're praising the Lord and it's something. All right, let's do our special. You want to? Somebody find F for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead and hit it. I can't. I sing in the cracks if you don't. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, who are we singing to? Father, I adore You. Jesus, I adore You. Spirit, I adore You. All right. Mm-hmm. Father, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Jesus, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Spirit, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Father, I adore You. Father, I adore You. Take your psalm book now. Not your song book, your Bible. Your psalm book. And let's turn over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And we're going to sing verses 3 and 4. Thy loving kindness is better than life. We change that to sweeter. I don't know why. It's the same thing. Thy loving kindness. How many of you have sung, Thy loving kindness is sweeter than life? Okay? All right. And what do we do when we say, I will lift up my hands in thy name? What do we do? Oh, Baptists don't do that. Well, Bible folks do, I guess. It says, I'll lift up my hands unto thy name. Okay? All right, let's sing it. How many of you have sung it? All right, both of you. Let's sing it. Everybody sing it. Thy loving kindness is sweeter than life. Thy loving kindness is sweeter than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. All right, now the response you give me is very typical in the Baptist church. And this is one of the reasons why the flow of the Spirit gets all choked up. All right, now, why don't we raise our hands in the Baptist church? Oh, the Pentecostals do. Now, isn't that something? I had a prominent Baptist preacher. When the Spirit visited our church, didn't more than visit, he just felt plumb at home. Our people just began to enjoy worship. Is there anything wrong with that? You reckon there's anything wrong with that? Certainly hope not. And if somebody wanted to raise their hands, fine. And I told folks, now look, you come to this church, you may see somebody raise their hands and somebody, if you don't like it, yeah, that's your problem. See, if I go to the cafeteria and they have T-bone steak, I think that's fine. Now, I go by the eggplant. I don't like egg, but I don't fuss at the proprietor of having eggplant. See, I just take what I like and go on. So, you know, don't get a problem over somebody that has a good time worshiping. See, that's your problem if you do. Okay? Now, we're going to try that once again. And I had a prominent Baptist preacher visit our church, and the Lord just moved, and our people just loved to sing. Singing that song raised their hands. And I saw him down on the front seat. He was between two of our members, and certainly he wanted to, you know, didn't want to be conspicuous in his refusal to. I looked down at him. I almost broke out laughing. He didn't want to just get in with it, and he certainly didn't want to rebel and not do anything. So he looked like this. Now, you can always tell a high Baptist from a low Baptist. That's like you're not real sure your deodorant's still working. Now, some of you are determined not to have a good time tonight, I can tell. But you came to the wrong place, because, listen, the Lord gives a merry heart. The Lord loves hilarity. Did you know that? Folks, God's people are the only ones in the world have a right to be happy. Isn't it sad? Where did I say this? I heard about a fellow that visited a Baptist church and visited a bar and decided to join the bar. They were happier there. Isn't that something? All right, let's sing. Thy loving kindness is sweeter than life. Is that so? Have you discovered his loving kindness? All right, let's sing it again. I don't know where we started it. I never start at the same place. Let's go. Thy loving kindness is sweeter than life. Thy loving kindness is sweeter than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name.
All right. Father, I praise you that we have a reason to be joyful, and I thank you that our joy is both a result of and a means of continuing to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, don't let us get the habit of joylessness. Teach us how to praise you and how to so encourage the Spirit to feel at home within us that he'll feel free to express himself through our lives. Now, Lord, we need to relearn almost everything. How we talk, how we think, how we worship. We've sure not been taught right in so many areas. Need to be taught how to give again. Need to be taught how to worship the Lord in the offering time. My, my. Lord, I thank you that you love a hilarious giver. I didn't sense too much hilarity during the offering tonight, and I'm sorry. And I pray that if somebody missed you, they'd just get right and hilariously give. And you just feel at home, Holy Spirit, to manifest yourself very freely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in a meeting like this, there's just one thing that's it's not bothersome and it's not frustrating, but it's sort of regretful. There's so many things that I would like to have said to you. I'd love to talk with you about the key to hilarious giving. My family and I learned the keys to giving hilariously, but I'll just have to recommend a good book to you. And there's one back there on the God's Miraculous Plan of Economy. I want to recommend it to you. I read it myself every once in a while when I feel myself slipping into just mere human giving. And I wish I could talk with you preachers about how to take offerings joyfully. You know, that's the wasteland in the average church now, the offering time, isn't it? Well, that ought to be the most exciting time in the whole worship service, offering time. Just think, God, who has everything, is allowing me the privilege of giving from his resources into his resources and becoming a part of his flow. See? And in a worship service, why I ought to just absolutely lose control of my emotions in a offering time. I don't find that too often, do you? I find folks want to look around, the offering plates come, they want to count the number of lights in the ceiling and how many folks in the choir wearing glasses and anything to keep from thinking about what's happening, the offering. Now, I ought to say this about the offering. See, Miss Bertha and I don't worry about that. The purpose of the offering is not our living. You know that? You're not our resource. The Lord is. I mean, if you didn't give us anything, God would make it up down the line. He meets our needs. The purpose of taking the offering is that you might hear from God, do what God says, and the offering be just another place where you meet God. And if you didn't meet him, then you failed in the purpose of the offering, you see? Well, there's so many things I'd like to talk about, but I want to pursue this matter of the fullness of the Spirit. Last night we read the 17th and 18th verses of chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians. 17 says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, Paul told the folks at Thessalonica that the will of God was their sanctification, their holiness, their being made holy, and their living holy. He said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? Well, we're prone to make it a positional or locational or geographical matter. But, folks, that maybe secondarily is the will of God. What you're doing professionally may be the will of God, certainly. But the will of God primarily, you can be positionally or locationally or geographically in the will of God and yet dispositionally be out of the will of God. You know that, don't you? I mean, you can be where you ought to be, but not what you ought to be where you are. And what is the will of God for every believer? What did we find out last night? To be filled with the Spirit. Or better still, to be always being filled with the Spirit. Now, we said that everybody can be in the will of God. And you right now are being the will of God, are in the will of God, because you are being filled, or you are not in the will of God because you are not being filled. It's just that simple. Just that simple. And so Paul goes on to say, don't be drunk with wine. That's unsaving. That's debauchery. That's excess. But be filled with the Spirit. And we talked about that last night. And I suppose 100 people or more came with this desire. I want to be filled. And many of you came to the joy of a personal experience, the beginning of the relationship of being filled. Some of you, probably 20 or 25, went back with me who admitted that there were yet some things in your life you were going to have to clear up. And we talked about that and gave you an assignment. Many of you are back tonight. And we're going to have a time of prayer tonight. It'd be tragic if you leave off pursuing what God has moved in on you to cause you to seek. The fullness of the Spirit. Now, don't let anybody confuse you. Don't let anybody defraud you. Don't let folks that you think have gone off the deep end cause you not to go with the Lord at all. That's the most foolish thing you could do. We believe the Bible. You don't have to fear what the Bible teaches. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He wants to own you in every part. Having owned you, he wants to control you. And he wants to control your mind and your body. And he wants to control your speech and every part of you. Now, once there comes the joy of cleanness and fullness, there is the flow of spiritual life. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And as the scripture saith, he that believes, out of his inner man will flow rivers of living water." Now listen, a river is an inevitable consequence of an overflow. A river. And he said, out of your inner person will flow rivers of living water. What was he talking about? He was talking about the flow of spiritual life. You say, well, I don't have much to give. You don't have to have anything to give. He's got it all. It is he that is flowing. He is the source of all spiritual life. And when you open your life, get it clean, get it transparent, and make it the channel, then God flows through you. Now, Jesus said further in that same passage, John 7, 37, 39, "This spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive," or would receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, what happened
to every believer when Jesus was glorified in heaven. The Spirit was poured out upon the earth, and everybody received him. Everybody in that upper room was baptized in the Spirit and were filled with the Spirit. That is, they began to flow. They began to flow. You say, well, I just don't have much of a capacity. Honey, you don't have to have any capacity.
I love what one little lady said, so I can't hold much, but I can overflow a lot.
See, you aren't made to hold it. You were made to flow. You're a pipeline. You're a channel. You're a river. A riverbed. Now, the gigantic question that meets me everywhere I go. It's just not much. It's common. You can come to a place like this and hear the messages and the Spirit moving and you sing and there's liberty and you enter into the joy of it and it's here and you say, oh, I'll never be the same. But the question is, how can we keep on keeping on? How can I keep the flow? How can I keep on flowing? Now, the very next verses in this chapter tell us. In fact, there are four words I want to introduce to you that, now listen very, very closely, that are both the results of the fullness and the means by which the fullness continues. The results of and the means of the continuing. So, each of these things are both the signs, the sign and the sequence of the fullness of the Spirit. All right, let's look at them. 19, chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, whether you realize it or not, there are four words that are given to us in these three verses that form the key to going on in the Spirit life. Now, let me say, it is impossible to continue in the fullness of the Spirit and not continue in these four inevitable results of the Spirit's fullness. Let's examine them. Each of them is a participle. Now, a participle is a word that describes another. And in this case, if you were diagramming the sentence, you would have all of these leading off from filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. You've ever diagrammed a sentence, you know that when you have a sentence that doesn't stop, you keep on attaching it together. Filled with the Spirit is the main thing. And underneath that is the participle. The first one, speaking. 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 Out of the overflow of the heart, man speaks. That's what the Word says. From the abundance of the heart, man speaks. Now, what happens if you've got an abundant heart and you don't speak? You stifle, you suppress the message, and the flow has to stop. The Holy Spirit, simply this, will make you want to speak. He will make you want to talk. Now, what if you're a little bit afraid? You're just afraid it might get you into difficulty. You're afraid to share what he's done for you, and you stifle the Spirit. Now, it says in the King James, speaking to yourselves. But actually, it is a reflexive middle in the Greek, which is speaking among yourselves, sounding off among yourselves. Listen, if God has done a work, you want to make this the subject of your conversation in casual moments. You know, the sad thing about most Christians, and I think back years ago, I used to run around with a bunch of preachers, and we could just talk, yap, 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 about everything. But we never talked much about Jesus and how wonderful he was. Do you notice that? You notice that among Christians today? If you get with a bunch of carnal Christians, they can talk about the weather and gripe about politics and complain about the city government and fuss about bad roads and just talk and talk and talk about Sunday's ball games and all the athletic events. And somebody say, listen, I know, let's talk about Jesus. Silence. You see? Why, we ought to talk about it. Speaking to yourself. Now, it goes on to say, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You ought to learn the psalms. My family and I try to learn a psalm every week, and that's our psalm for the week. This week, it's Psalm 50:23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him who orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Hallelujah. And we share that as a family. And so I say, when I pick up the phone, call my family every day. My phone bill's rather high, but we worship every day, and the Lord pays the bill. And that's how I said, all right, what's our verse? And my son said, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him who ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now, friend, that just does something to you. See, that continues the encouragement of God to express himself through you. And you know the trouble with a lot of you? You can't stay filled because you won't memorize the scripture. You're going to have to memorize the scripture. God flows through his scripture. Oh, my, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. My expectation is only from him. My. Do you see what I mean? Speaking among yourselves. And if you were ready, I could just turn you loose and say, now let's try that out. You just turn to the person next to you and say a song. Say a song. Oh, listen. I pray the psalms. Every once in a while I want to pray for my son. I just say, Lord, blessed is Tim who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why, this is your treasure, and to believe it and to share, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns. Ask ye what great thing I know, what delights and stirs me so. You ought to memorize some of the hymns. Now that hymn she sang, we ought to sing that. How firm a foundation. I love thee, I love thee, I love thee, my Lord. I love thee, my Savior. I love thee, my God. I love thee, and that thou dost know. But how much I love thee, my actions will show. You see? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you see what I mean? Okay, speaking to yourselves and then singing and making melody. You know, every time I go somewhere, I pick out people in that church who decided about 175 years ago they wouldn't sing. Men, especially men, older men. You say, preacher, I just can't sing. That is beside the point, dear. You are not right with God, and you never will be till you get to singing. You say, well, is it that important? It is that important. You say, you never heard me sing. Well, I may be glad, but you ought to sing. You will never be full of the Spirit until you sing. You say, where'd you get that? Right here. Right here. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. You say, I can't make melody. Oh, it didn't say in your throat. It said in your heart. Now, there's not anybody here that can't make melody in your heart. You ought to be ashamed of yourself sitting back there saying, I'm not going to sing. You old sourpuss. You ought to stay home if you're going to do that. You're bad publicity. God's people want joy.
And he wants us to have joy. Listen to what Jesus said. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. If you don't have fullness of joy, you're frustrating the whole purpose of God.
Yeah, he said, Father, I've spoken these things to them that my joy might be fulfilled in them. He wants you to have joy.
You're not going to have joy till you begin to let it flow out. You say, I'll let it flow when I feel joy. No, you'll never feel joy till you let it go. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, that's a word for just singing. But do you know what the next word is? Singing and making melody, you know what that is?
Singing and psalming. Psalming.
The same word that he uses for psalm is here the verb form, psalming. I don't know of anything that gets a people any more joyful than just opening the Bible and singing the psalms. Yeah. Just singing the psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. That's what they did in the church, in the assemblies of old. They sang the psalms. Why, there's a wonderful one. There is a wonderful one. You remember when they sang when they got out of the land of Egypt? Why, they sang. They said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, his horse and rider thrown into the sea. Oh, my, you ought to sing that. That's so good. Listen to this one. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Sing. Psalming. Psalming. I want to tell you something. When a church begins to flow with the Spirit, it's going to be inevitable that you sing the psalms. I believe that. Singing and psalming. That's what the word is. Now, where are we getting that? Right off from being filled with the Spirit. Speaking among yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Miss Bertha could tell you the story about a man who was a missionary who came to San Antonio, was gloriously filled with the Spirit. Just one visit in our church, and the Spirit of God had him ready, and he was filled with the Spirit that night, and went back to the mission field and didn't tell about it, didn't talk about it, and lost the flow. Miss Bertha visited the mission field, stayed in their home, and he mentioned that he knew something had happened to him there, and he wondered why he didn't have the continuing joy. The same thing you're going to wonder if you stop up the flow. Stop up the flow. And she said, well, have you told people about it? And he hadn't. He hadn't told people. He hadn't talked about it. Now, don't be pious and say, well, I'm going to show people by the life I live. Well, that's fine for you to do that, but the Lord said for you to tell. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, speaking among yourselves. And did she get on him? Oh, she got on him good and heavy. And by the time she got through with him, he was glad to tell it. And when he got to telling it, it became real to him again. See? And he got his wife on in, and the Lord filled her and his pastor. And listen, tell about it. Speaking among yourselves. See? Okay. Those are two things you need to do. Speaking among yourselves. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Practice singing. I love to have a song on my heart all time. I love to whistle. I love to whistle because sometimes my voice, it wears out. And I get more opportunities to witness because I whistle. And somebody will say, "My, you sound happy today." Well, that's just an opening. I surely am. Do you know why I'm happy? Would you like to hear why? Well, everybody wants to hear why you're happy. They're not interested in you telling about why your face is so long you could sip your food out of a 6-foot trough. But they want to find happiness. And I'm happy because I have discovered that Jesus Christ is all I need. Happiness, you see. Okay. Number three. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, friends, this is just not accidentally there. Not accidentally there. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice. The act of giving thanks for everything unto God in the name of Jesus. Now, let me tell you, this is both a result of being filled and a means by which you stay filled. And the quickest way to stop the flow is to start complaining. Friend, the Holy Spirit just stopped filling you when you complained, just like that. See, thanksgiving and complaining are opposites. You know what complaining means? Accusing God of mismanaging your affairs. Saying the Bible's not true, it's not going to come out all right, all things do not work together for good. It is an act of unbelief. You see what I mean? And the Holy Spirit can't fill you when you're in unbelief. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anything in your life, anything that has happened or is happening to you or you're afraid might happen to you, that you are not praising him for? It's a sin. See, you can list that with your sins. Because he says, giving thanks always for all things. Oh, you know, we always want to get around the thing. We want to win on a technicality. And over on in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And somebody came to him and said, got it. In everything give thanks. Didn't say for. I said, well, it didn't, but it happens to over in Ephesians 5:19. I visited a little lady in our church, and she'd heard me preach on this enough to know better. She had cancer. Was having radiation treatments and chemotherapy and was just as sick and the side effects she'd be. And she was down. Oh, she was down. My wife and I went to see her. She said, oh, Brother Jack, I know that you taught us that we ought to praise the Lord in everything, but I can't thank the Lord for this. I said, you can't. She said, no. I said, why can't you? She said, I'd be a hypocrite. I said, why? She said, I don't feel gratitude for it. I said, wait a minute. I said, now look. Nowhere in the Bible does it say for you to be grateful for something. Being grateful is a set of emotions. Feeling gratitude is a set of emotions. Giving thanks is an act of your will by faith. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you still pronounce the word thank? Oh, she said, yes. I said, can you pronounce the word you? She said, well, yes. I said, can you put both of them together and say thank you? She said, well, I don't have any trouble with that. I said, then do it. God, I thank you. Well, you fulfilled his will. And you know, we got down to pray. And she said, Lord, I thank you. And all of a sudden, the joy broke loose. Because you see, the joy doesn't flow when you're disobedient. Some of you are waiting for the joy to come so you can praise the Lord. Doesn't work like that. You ought to praise the Lord so the joy will come. There is a river waiting to flow and waiting for you to let it go by your obedience. And here is a part of the flow. Giving thanks
always, for all things, to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Now that's God's will for you. You say everything?
Everything.
I wish I had time. I'll just shorten the story and tell you that I learned, my son and I, when we were learning on the way to taking him to kindergarten long years ago in school, we'd learn a passage and quote it to each other on the way to school. And we'd learned that one, Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wonderful passage of Scripture. And we just learned that, and we just remarked what a wonderful passage it was, and good things had happened. We say, oh, isn't it good? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Well, the lady gave me a brand new automobile, and we took our first vacation in a long time, headed out to California, and just to have a time together as a family. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, a great big old West Texas deer crossed our path, slammed into the front of that new automobile. The hood flew up, air conditioner blew up, fought it over by the side of the road, and got out of it, and oh, my new car. And do you know the verse that the Lord reminded me of? In everything give thanks. And I just had an argument in my heart with the Lord. I said, now that was a wonderful verse about everything else, but Lord, I just don't see where that fits here. And folks, I had a choice to make, whether to obey God or obey my feelings. And you know what I did? Yeah. I said, okay, Lord, thank you. And the scene, the Holy Spirit just settled down over that scene. And anger left, and it just got to be fun. Just got hilarious. Did. Now, I know what I'd have done if the Lord hadn't sanctified my thoughts right quick. Why, I'd have a big old car, and my kids asleep. I hadn't even waked them. I'd have waked them up and whipped them both. You know what you do. I just spanked them. I said, now that's for nothing. That's just because I feel like it. I'd have said to my wife before she said a thing, now you shut up, I don't want to hear one word out of you. Huh? I'd have gone back and kicked that poor dead. He never knew what hit him. I'd have kicked that dead deer, walked around him. I talked to him. I said, you dumb deer, if you'd have waited 3 seconds, we'd have both been in the clear. I would have fumed and I would have snorted and I would have stomped and I would have... It had taken me 3 or 4 hours to get calmed down if I hadn't chosen to do God's will. Now you see, you got a choice. Now, as the Holy Spirit has begun to fill you and something happens, what are you going to do? Praise the Lord. Something happened, you want to praise the Lord. Why? That's silly. No, it's God's will. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, folks, that includes everything. Everything. If you got something you're not praising the Lord for, you won't be in the will of God till you do. And you'll be excited about God and walking with Him. Well, there is one other thing, and I could spend an hour here, but I'll just spend a little bit. And this is it. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. You have the four things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody. We've counted that one. Singing and melody making. Or singing and psalming in our hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things. And then submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. We don't know much about that. And that's the reason this great big ponderous thing called the church is not a body. Doesn't act like a body. Do you know this morning a very remarkable thing happened? At about 5:50-something, my phone rang. And the voice on the other end of the line said, it's time to get up. I had asked them to call me. My body is a complex set of nerves and cells and muscles and joints and really amazing when you get to think about it. And so there began to be a series of messages just that quick, all through my body. Well, the first message was, I don't want to get up. And there was another message, you need to get up. Well, we won that one. And so another message went to my hand. You need to throw the cover off. Another went to my foot. You need to get out of bed so the rest of the body can get up. And you know, I got up. It's amazing. You know how I got up? The members of my body were submissive to each other. My feet and my legs and my brain and my eyes and my hands and that's how I'm here tonight, standing behind this pulpit. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Here I stand on my two feet. I can hold up my hands and bend my fingers and my eyes and my neck and my brain can think and send air up through my voice box, and I can speak and wrap my tongue around words, and you're sitting there just as amazing. You're listening with your ears, and God is lodging it in the folds of your brain, and he's letting it filter down into your soul. Isn't that remarkable? Why? Because somehow the members of your body got in agreement and said, hey, let's all go to church. Let's listen. Let's decide. Let's let God, who owns this body, take it over and fill it up. You see what I mean? The members of this body yielded to each other. My hand hasn't been thinking much about itself today. My big toe hadn't been fussing today. It spent most of its day inside a sock. Hadn't called attention to itself. I haven't heard it say one time today, hey, I'm sick and tired of getting bent down here in the end of this sock all day long. Now, you know why? My big toe exists for me, for all the body. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And folks, you know, when the Holy Spirit begins to fill you, you won't resist people, you'll surrender. You'll be a part and parcel of them, and you'll wonder how you can enrich them to make them function with unction and be maximized in how they can serve the Lord. And you'll be looking at people and say, I wonder what I could do for her or for him to make them enjoy the Lord more. See? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. You're a part of this great body. Goes on to talk about the husband and wife relationship. The miracle of mutual submission. Then the rest of that chapter is spent talking about wives being in subjection to your husbands. Listen, I don't care what you think about it. You listen to what I say, and you're going to be living proof of it one way or another. It is impossible for a woman married to a man to be filled with the Spirit and not be submissive to her man. You say, I don't think I like that. I don't care whether you like it or not. It's so. You say, that just doesn't make sense to me. I don't care if it makes sense or not. It's so, and you'll never walk with God in the power of the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit, until you know what it is to trust God enough to yield, to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. You say, well, I don't think that means submission. I think it means cooperation. That's what a missionary in Southeast Asia told me. And I looked at the Greek, and I'm sorry, it means to place in order under. Yeah, that's what it means. Some of you women want to get filled with the Spirit, but you don't want to be submissive to your husband. You're smarter than he is. You don't like the way he runs the outfit. Well, if you were to get out of God's way, God could deal with him. You see? Don't you trust the Lord? Submitting yourself. Husband, your time. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. You get submissive to one another as unto the Lord in the fear of God, you're going to love her. You know what love is? Love is that self-imparting quality in one which causes that one to seek the highest good in another regardless of what it costs. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might wash it, sanctify it, cleanse it, and present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. You ask now what she ought to be?
Whose fault is it?
Yours.
Your love is sanctifying. Your love is clarifying. Your love is cleansing.
Well, do you see what I mean? You see what I mean?
Be filled with the Spirit. The means of continuing, the sign of being filled, talking about it. Talking about it. Speaking to yourself. Singing and psalming in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now, folks, this is what God offers you. And the interesting thing is, he hasn't given you an option to receive it or not. The option he's given you is to do his will or refuse his will. And so tonight, knowing that God's will is for you to be always being filled with the Spirit, I leave the matter with you. Knowing that it is the will of God for you as a born-again, blood-bought, Christ-indwelt child of God, knowing that it is the will of God for you to be filled with the Spirit, what are you going to do? Are you going to choose the life you've been living and go back and live it? I have news for you. That may have been feasible in your little mind before, but not now. You've heard something that has made that impossible. You forever dismissed the possibility that could happen by coming here tonight. See? You cannot sin against the light and get away from it. So I want to ask you again, as I asked last night, have you been filled? Taken over? Controlled by the Holy Spirit, have you? Have you come to that time? Secondly, if you have, are you being filled tonight? Are you? Both vital questions. Let's bow to pray.
Now, friend, I trust that the message has been a blessing to your heart. And I trust that you know someone to whom the message may be a blessing. Since I have some time, and since I do not have the list of the Tape of the Month family at hand, we will save that part of the plan for next month. I want to share with you for just a few minutes on something that I share in almost every meeting where I preach. I generally preach on the fullness of the Spirit because I consider it to be of absolute importance in the church today. To be full of the Spirit simply means that the life of God inside of us is dominant, that we have been cleansed of sin and yielded our wills to Him. It means to be under the control of the Lord. What a prospect. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, in messages previous, you have heard me say that that command is for a continuous relationship of spiritual overflow. Now, I find that very profound. I also find it delightful. If there is such a command, there is such a relationship. Impossible to man, but possible to God. I want to talk with you in these moments about how you can be filled today. I want to say six things. I want you to take a pencil and put them down. I want you to investigate the scriptures that I give you. Now, in the first place, number one, we must confess our sins up to date and keep them confessed. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I don't know of any better way than simply to call a sin what it is. Miss Bertha Smith advocates the taking of a piece of paper and numbering down the side and putting sins down as God brings them to mind. Many of them will come without too much help. But as we come to the end of what we feel would be the sin list, we just simply say to the Lord, Lord, now your light shine in my heart and show me every way that is wicked, every sin that I need to confess. And will God oblige us when we do? Now you may, as you look at those sins, see many that are just against God, but there'll be others that are against man. And you'll need to straighten these out God's way, going to them, sometimes writing a letter, making it right. God will make a way for you to get right. Now the second matter is this. We must choose against ourselves. We must make a choice against self as a ruling factor in our lives. Now listen. It's very natural to choose ourselves first. It's supernatural to choose Jesus Christ, and that's what we do when He liberates us, when He begins to liberate us from ourselves. This is not a one-time liberation, but a continuous relationship in which He, moving in a dominant manner in our hearts, overcomes the problem of self. We make a choice against self. Again, in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now that simply means to make a choice against you. To choose for Christ is to choose against the old you. I'm not talking about the new you. I'm not talking about self-destruction. I'm talking about choosing against that old ego, that self that would dominate and forever keep Christ in a subservient position. Thirdly, we must choose the place or position of death to this self. Now, this is a much discussed matter, but the Bible makes it clear. In Romans 6:11, Paul says, "Reckon yourselves, therefore, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ." Now, God has seen us in a position of death ever since Jesus died. That position has become real in our lives when we reckon it to be so. It is a positional fact the moment we trust Christ. God sees us dead in Christ. He counts us dead. What He counts us, we can count ourselves, and so reckon means to count on. And the earlier verses of Romans 6 tell us that we have been crucified with Him, buried with Him, and raised with Him. And so we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now neither sin is dead, nor are we dead. But we are dead with Christ, which renders us no longer under the domination of sin. A relationship has ended in which sin is dominant. So reckon yourselves. Choose the position of death. We reckon, God makes real. Number four, we are to choose the will of God in every situation in advance for the rest of our lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, friend, this is God's will for you, to make a present of your whole self, your whole personality, your whole temperament, all that you are and have to Him. This is reasonable, and this is transforming. And we're to allow this commitment to so pervade every area of our lives that we become living demonstrations of the goodness and the perfection and the acceptability of the will of God. Now, number five, we are to crown Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. Romans 14:9 says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living." Friend, He is Lord.
one day every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You ought to be way ahead of time. Do it now. Don't wait. Crown him Lord. He already is the Lord. And as you crown him your Lord, how perfect and complete life will be. Now, finally, I want to tell you that if you will do the five preceding things, confess your sin up to date, make a choice against yourself, reckon self to be dead, choose the position of death to self, choose the will of God in every situation, crown Jesus the Lord, you can, number six, begin to praise the Lord by faith as you claim his fullness. You see, his lordship and his fullness are at once two sides of the same coin. Now I want you, having put these down, if you didn't write them down, back up and listen to them again. Put them in the flyleaf of your Bible or somewhere where you could make ready reference. For these are not only the means by which you're filled, but factors that are highly significant in staying filled. God bless you. May this tape prove a blessing to you and to others. If you'd like to send a gift subscription of the tape of the month to a friend, ask God how you could best spend your money in making such an investment, and we'd be delighted to hear from you. God bless you. Pray for us, and may the Lord's presence and power be felt daily in your life. Praise the Lord. Maranatha. Jesus is coming soon. Thank you, and God bless you. And now, Lord, take the messages on this tape and in this family around the world. Have through it the ministry of reassurance, the ministry of comfort, the ministry of conviction. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your encouragement for us to pray. Thank you for Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So I bless you today. I praise you. For every listening ear, touch that heart. Melt that problem or use that problem to further build character. Thank you that you're preparing us to reign. We bless you and we thank you. We love you. Now, Lord, just take us and make us all that you want us as redeemed children to be. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.